Hello, listeners. My name is Mark. If you have been enjoying the Listener Lore episodes, please come over to my separate podcast feed, Lorehammer Listener Lore. On this daily podcast channel, I will be reading one story a day and sharing your creative works with others and giving my feedback at the end. So, if you like grimdark 40k short stories, come join me at Lorehammer Listener Lore, the 40k podcast where you get to write the script.
Welcome back to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
Hey, Eric. I'm Mark.
And joining us today for the last time, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us, is the Didact himself. Christian.
Our spirit animal, Christian.
Yeah. I'm really channeling some Christian energy right now. Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Goddamn mumbling. All right, listener lore. So this is where we listen to you and your lore, and then you guys listen to us.
Listen to your lore.
Read by us, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
it's just a lore. Big old circle jerk is
yeah.
Really what it is.
Layers of lore all the way down.
No one should tell these people that instead of submitting, they could just do their own podcast and you know, just keep submitting infinite amount,
No.
Not have to wait for our schedule.
Yeah, I'm definitely... editing that out. There's no way I'm letting that go through to the full episode. So today we have three stories written in the 40K universe, either about armies or their own personal battles. We've even had some people write in. Sometimes we get little...
Sometimes we just hear about, like, and this military had 747 guys.
Yeah, you feel like you're reading a report
sometimes. Which, you know, to each their own. Everyone does information a different way.
Did you get my erotic submission?
Yes,
we did.
Yes. And we are eagerly waiting for part two.
Yeah. Orcs of the Long Night.
I'm on my fifth read-through of it.
Starting a graphic novel, even.
Well, I think let's just dive right into it. Shall I read?
Yeah, they didn't come for a shitty joke. They want to hear shitty listener lore.
Right,
so
yeah.
Let's give the people what they want.
I'll read the first one.
Yeah.
All right. So this is submitted to us by McWeeklies? Question mark. So thank you to McWeeklies. Here we go. Iron Marines, Iron Resolve, a Warhammer 40K short story. In the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war. Fighting was thickest on the front lines of the assault. The full 6th Company of the Iron Marines were spread thin as they tried to quell the unending tide of orcs. Great trenches covered the battlefield connected via craters, formed by artillery bombardments. Months had passed since the Iron Marines first made planetfall, and there had been no cease to the fighting in all that time. No Man's Land was covered with craters and mud, which would leave a guardsman stranded and left for dead. The thick and viscous, heavy clay soil exasperated its perils. Razor and barbed wire littered the area, making safe passage almost impossible, while the many tanks roaming the area made short work of any who dared to cross. A squad of 5 veteran Marines moved through the bogged-down trenches, their armor weighed down by the thick clay-rich mud which clung to their legs like glue. Scratches and craters littered the Marines' armor, made by enemy gunfire and close-quarters combat. Large areas of plate were scratched down to bare ceramite and adamantium from their engagements. Months of fighting in the trenches were starting to take their toll on the war gear, but not the Marines' resolve, for that was iron. Land Raiders' engines thundered as they crossed the trenches, leaving great ditches in their wake, which quickly filled with muddy water. The deafening engine sounds echoed throughout the trench network. Each noise blended together, creating a bellow of engines, gunfire, and death. With every passing second, artillery shells battered the ground above them, sending soil and debris scattering in great arcs in all directions. The Marines pressed their assault. A Land Raider powered directly over the Marines as it navigated No Man's Land, its heavy bolters blazing, massacring orcs in the distance. The ground shook from the weight of the tank. chunks of rock and soil dislodged from its tracks, falling into the trench below. Rocks bounced off the marine's ceramite plate, chipping the muddy blue paint as it tumbled. All the collected debris from months of trench warfare made it near impossible to make out the yellow and black stripes of their pauldrons. They moved through the trenches with ruthless efficiency, plasma guns and boulders bellowing around them. The Marines rounded the next corner, confronted by a tide of green skins. Tight corridors made the orcs easy pickings for the well-trained and practiced Marines. Letting loose a flurry of bolter and plasma rounds, the greenskins fell. Orcs stumbled forward as limbs were ripped from their bodies by the explosive impacts. Their wails of pain became lost to the overwhelming sounds of artillery fire. The survivors of the initial wave were forced to clamber over the piles of the dead, only to meet the same fate. Heads exploded, spraying brain matter across the walls, painting them with grim violence and brutality. As the Marines dealt the Emperor's divine justice upon the Xenos, more Land Raiders crossed above their heads. The walls shook, dislodging earth and burying a dozen orcs. The Marines did not waver in their approach. They walked over and through the dead as if they did not exist. As they came out the other side, their armor was slick with mud and blood. With the trench now clear, they prepared to move to the next battle. The Marines reloaded their weapons and checked their ammunition. They were running low. Walking directly up the side of the trench, they created their own path to the surface, servos and muscle bundles protesting as they pushed their way through the heavy soil. The moment their gun barrels were over the precipice, their bolters erupted. With every trigger pull, explosions rang out all across the battlefield like a symphony of imperial might. The Emperor's judgment propelled at great speed, hitting home in the heads of the foul Xenos. Bolter rounds exploded on impact, incinerating flesh and sending great chunks of fungus spraying over the battlefield. With trained precision, each round hit its mark with no exception. The Marines pressed on. Superheated plasma rained down on the orcs, burning up the oxygen and stagnating the air into a thick plume of smoke and the smell of burning flesh. The sound of plasma filled the Marines with righteous intent as they carried on in their push to the next trenches. The veteran Marines' bolter mags ran dry. With no hesitation, they slung their bolters down on their chest, drew their bolt pistols, and continued dispatching of the enemy. With one hand, they fired, clearing a path. With the other, they changed the magazine of their primary weapon with staggering and practiced efficiency. Within seconds, they reholstered their bolt pistols and brought their bolters to bear in perfect unison. Each brother knew their position and their role within the squad, covering all lanes of fire, leaving no room for an enemy opening. They drew near to a Land Raider, which had previously crossed over the trench. The squad sergeant voxed ahead to the tank, letting them know they were in need of supplies. The tank slowed to a crawl. The top hatch opened as a battle brother climbed onto the hull-mounted Stormbolter. He began to lay down multiple fields of fire, covering the squad's approach. They reached the tank and slammed against its bulk for cover. The sergeant knocked on the rear hatch twice as his brothers placed their last magazines into their bolters and continued dispatching of the Xenos. The hatch hissed as the airlock disabled. It lowered slowly, revealing 8 servitors. 2 of them were fitted with heavy bolters. They were more machine than man. The 2 heavy bolter servitors pushed out of the Land Raider first, moving into the orcs' line of fire before opening up with hails of rounds, which ripped through the orcs like butter. The vibrations from the guns shook the ground. The servitors had to lean themselves forward just to hold position without collapsing from the sheer force of the massive rounds. The other 6 servitors bore great chests filled with ammunition. They began restocking the Marines' pouches as they continued the fight. 1 Marine's bolter jammed. He flung his bolter over his shoulder onto the ground near the servitors and drew his bolt pistol. As he fired, a servitor picked up his bolter and began to clean it. Its arms had been modified with augmentations, which were designed to maintain such weapons. The bolter's barrel was placed on the palm and then dragged up inside the arm of the servitor. Inside the arm, the barrel was cleared and cleaned, the mechanisms regressed and parts replaced. This was all done in a matter of seconds before the servitor removed the bolter, replaced the magazine while it sent a ready rune to the Marine's helmet display, and threw it back to him. Holstering his bolt pistol after loading in a fresh magazine, the Marine caught the bolter in a smooth motion before turning back to the battle and continued to fire. restocked on munitions, the sergeant voxed the driver to thank him and pray for the Emperor to protect him. With this, the servitors retreated back into the Land Raider. One of the heavy bolter servitors was heavily wounded. It collapsed as it entered the Land Raider. Thick oil like blood poured from the open wounds in its chest. None of the other servitors noticed or cared. They were incapable. The rear hatch shut again slowly with a hiss as the air seal was restored. As the Land Raider pulled away, the Marines were left exposed, but with their new ammunition, they were back to full form and ready to deliver more death to the foul Xenos. For the Emperor. End.
Dun, 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 dun.
We got a little bit of a addendum that he added on, whatever, just to give a little context. So, the Iron Marines are a successor chapter of the Ultramarines Legion and were founded during the Third Founding. Their color scheme is primarily blue, with silver detailing on their Aquilas and the Battle Brothers helmets. Their pauldrons have a blue border with a black and yellow lined pattern similar to warning tape. Sergeants wear yellow helmets. Their notable weapons are their power fists and plasma weapons, as all captains, lieutenants, and sergeants must carry them. Each tactical marine squad must also feature a plasma gun.
Okay.
And then, this is from him. From McWeekly's, I should say. The main reason I created this force was because I really like the look of Power Fist and wanted to create my own force based around that weapon. However, I did not want to create an Imperial Fist successor chapter to do that, because all of them have that and my force wouldn't be different enough. I think the addition of plasma as a mainstay because also makes them a bit different, as you don't see it as much as you used to, other than Hellblasters, which do make up a chunk of my force. I also wanted to use tanks because I never had any in any of my armies.
Cool.
Okay. That's a very gritty, gross, disgusting battle scene.
That was some great bolter porn. I really like just how well he described all, like, the weathering on the armor and, like, the thick mud. Really descriptive. You don't like mud, Christian?
No, I love mud. I love mud as much as the next guy. No, I did enjoy it. Like you said, it's bolter porn.
It's bolter porn.
It is bolter porn. Honestly, I would say it's been a long time since I've read bolter porn, so this was kind
of
cool.
It's full of cliches, but it doesn't necessarily make that bad.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
Like, it painted a very vivid image in my mind, which to me is, like, on the better side of that, right? Like, you can describe a trench system one of two ways.
Muddy?
Yeah.
Or dirty.
So he did a good job with it for sure. And I wish there was a little bit more info as to why the plasma. Like, if he had a little bit developed the background of his chapter.
Yeah, maybe
a little
his
more.
Homeworld has plasma vents on it.
Like,
or
just like something. The everything, it's like a little bit generic, which is fine. Like, if you don't care to invest that much into it.
This is much more just a slice of one encounter and less of a, hey, here's my culture and here's
the... But even in his explanation after, it'd been cool if there was a little more detail. Yeah. Like, as,
I think it's something
is,
for
they're
him to,
fine.
Something for McWeekly's to
well,
take a look at.
Well, we got this email almost 2 years ago, so chances are good he's worked on his lore since then.
Does he still listen to the podcast?
You better.
If you're out there, McWeekly's,
send
you know
us
what
a
you need to do.
And in 2 years, I'll get back to you.
Okay, something I never really understand is the warning stripes. Hmm. I see it on a lot of different Marines, even on official Games Workshop artwork.
Yeah.
And I never got it. Like, why...
Danger, you're about to get rolled
by a
tank.
Why is it there? Like, why do they put it on their chainswords and, like, other weapons?
Because chainswords are dangerous, Eric.
I understand that they are dangerous, but
you're
also
the reason why we need these hazard stripes.
People like you.
Yeah.
I know they're dangerous, but also, shouldn't everyone in the realm of Warhammer 40,000 understand that they're dangerous?
Yeah.
Like, they don't cover all weapons like that.
I think it's 50-50 the industrial look, and part of it, too, chevrons actually feature quite a bit in, like, medieval, like... heraldry and stuff. They're
chevrons?
There. Yeah.
Like, but but those are like the...
But they're often like the Iron Warriors are described. They're like almost like a lambda. Like a repeating lambda pattern.
Okay. Yeah. But that's not the same as like a warning stripe.
No, but it could give that impression. And then like if you had a black and yellow pattern, then to your modern eye, it would look like that. I don't know. I think it's just a fusion of the two.
Okay.
Like industrial plus medieval, which is pretty much what 40K is, right?
Yeah. That's true. I
don't know if there's like a reason.
I definitely can appreciate when they're well painted. Yeah. I mean, I can appreciate any color if it's like well painted and put on a model.
Not any color.
Any color, Mark.
No, no.
But I just, that's just one of the few, like, hey, it's very obviously done in this pattern and on these specific things, and I never
Iron Warriors have that too as like a very significant hallmark of theirs, and I wonder if that's like related to like Siegeworks construction kind of like idea, right? Like,
sure,
you see that a lot on construction sites. These guys are like the builders. Actually, more like the taker downers, because it's the Imperial Fists are the builders. But
yeah,
one cool thing I really liked about the story too is his description of how like they resupply like mid battle. I love that. No one ever talks about it.
And I mean, another way is like that I've heard is just servitors following you with cases of ammunition.
Yeah, and I've heard of even them like drop potting in supplies. But like, I really like his description, like to actually take the time to like actually think about, okay, we're not just don't have endless ammunition here. We need to resupply. It's an actual factor. I actually really like that, and I liked his description of it and everything.
There were a couple things
that servitors and stuff, and that gun arm thing,
just like the barrel feeding into his arm and like things like coming out and cleaning it,
like I could very vividly imagine that happening. Doesn't break any lore, like it's beautiful.
Another thing that really like painted a picture in my mind was these massive land raiders going over the trenches, and you just hear like a roar and then the smack down as it goes on the other side, and
the
it really brought that image in my mind.
The land raider design is based on the Mark I tank that they used in World War I, which is exactly why like it drives over. Its literal purpose is to drive over trenches, and like the way their tracks are built, like if they dip into the trench they can dig themselves out.
They have that like weird
that lift
angle. I like them
tanks.
I honestly think that the older school, like the squat firstborn tanks with all the tracks and treads, they fit way more to this dirty, gritty, grungy style of warfare than any of the floating stuff.
No, I agree. Definitely.
But what's nice about the floating hover jets is when they fly over dead bodies and stuff on the battlefield, the dead bodies just like
crunch them. Because it's like it a gravity thing, right?
So like they just must leave this fucking crazy exploding mess of carcasses. So that's the only reason I like them.
I would not mind seeing someone.
You don't think a track can do that too, though?
Well, yeah, I know, but it's not as much surface area. You know, there's only two low tracks. Is that it's a whole big
two flat. Little tracks? This one track, each track is like 3 feet wide
compared to the 20-foot Land Raider repulsor.
Footprint.
Come on,
true. Yeah.
All I'm saying,
just like a trail of just smushed things behind it. Yeah, that could be pretty gross.
Yeah,
I really liked this actually.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
It definitely felt like an action scene, especially the moment where he. Like, the servitor throws the bolt gun back to the Marine, and the Marine, in that instant, like, reloads his bolt pistol, holsters it, catches the bolt gun, doesn't miss a drop, and just kunk.
That's how I imagine them to work, though. Yeah. That, to me, that's, like, not even exceptional for Space Marines. That should be, like, baseline. They should all be action heroes. Everybody's fumbling around with a grenade.
Little bit of, like, gun-fu in there. Yeah. Bam.
What's that movie with...
Equilibrium.
Yes, Equilibrium.
With Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a wild ride.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, I appreciated that McWeeklies. McWeeklies?
McWeeklies. If you got pictures of your models, send them, post them on our Discord.
We'd described them so well, and I want to see this battle damage and mud all over your models.
His models are just covered in, like, Strickland mud. Not even, you can't even see them underneath.
From, like, the waist down, it's just mud.
Pro tip for just new painters, purity seal will stop your paint from chipping. So if you want to go do trench warfare you're worried about the cleanliness of your armor,
pick up Terran
GW purity seal.
Now only spray. $9.99.
Exactly.
Or 10 years of servitude in Effectorum.
That's nice. That's
cool. Well, let's move on to our next story.
All right. Our next story is titled Isaac. No, sorry. That's the submitter who didn't bother to give us a title.
Right.
We'll name it.
So we'll call the story Isaac.
Isaac, written by Isaac.
We'll see if the story lives up to the name. The Death Songs are a chapter that has been pushed under the rug because of their heretical decisions, but the Emperor didn't want to get rid of one of his greatest legions, as they have been forgotten. The flaw of the Death Songs is that if they fight in melee combat for too long, the marksmen or close combat This looks incomplete.
Oh, okay.
The flaw of the Death Songs is that if they fight in melee combat for too long.
Yeah, like we're just going to read what he sent us and we can't.
Yeah, I'll just carry on. The marksman or close combat honor, a.k.a. the honor of Khorne, is for the individuals who show exceptional shooting or close combat prowess. The individual's bolter or melee weapon is painted red. The sonic boom is an honor given to the exceptional of Slaanesh. The bolter is painted purple, and the bolter round doesn't explode normally. It explodes into a wave of sound. The honor of Chinch is only given to psykers who are adept in the ways of warp magic. Their helmet bears a blue stripe. The honor of Nurgle is given to the most hardened veteran, and their helmet bears a green stripe. The different squads are represented by four different colors. Battleline is red, fire support is blue, close support is green, veteran is white. All of this is borne on the right pauldron. The rank within the squad is borne upon the left pauldron. Red is normal, white is veteran, gold is sergeant. War cry of the songs. With one mighty breath, the warlord bellows out the words of their fallen Primarch, Excelsid Daramon. Weapons and units. Units, Hellsound Warriors, Intercessors, Rock Blasters, Pulsar Smashers, Hell Blasters, Dubstep Cannons, Sonic
Dubstep
Strikes.
Cannons?
Sonic Strikes, Inceptors, and Rock Blasters.
Is he breaking down, like, he calls them Hellsound Warriors, but they are Intercessors, and they wield Rock Blasters?
Yeah, I think in brackets is what they are, and then what they're...
Okay, so he has Pulsar Smashers, which are Hell Blasters, and they wield Dubstep Cannons. Okay.
Wop, wop, wop.
Sonic Strikers are Inceptors, and they have Auto Rock Blasters. The Hellsound Warriors are the most common unit in the Death Songs. They use the Rock Blasters, which uses a small, harsh burst of sound to destroy the body of the target. Pulsar Smashers are a unit that go after big targets like tanks or commanders. Their Dubstep Cannons shake the target in the very rivets. The Sonic Strikers scream through the sky, emitting a piercing scream over the sound of the sonic booms that are created by the speed of their jetpacks. Psyker Powers. Song of the Earthshaker. Whoa.
This power allows for the Psyker to send out a sonic wave that is able to split planets clean in two when wielded by an extremely powerful Psyker. He gives some stats, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Song of the Bone Crusher. This power shakes and eventually crushes the victim from the inside out. That's cool.
So those are two psychic powers that the Death Songs wield?
Yeah.
And then he has... So it's kind of the reverse of your story, is that he's kind of given us the layout of the chapter and then the written part of it. Listen to them. The songs of death. What music they make. Primarch Excelsid Daramon. Chapter motto. They never thought that the Emperor would like this. They thought that they would be accepted properly instead of being classified as heretics. But at the last moment, someone stepped in and said that they would be forgotten and expunged from the records, and no one will know of them. Sometime during the Horus Heresy, for the Emperor, Excelsist roared. His scythe shook slightly with concentrated sonic energy. He swung it into the being before him. The weapon cleaved cleanly through. In the places where it got stuck, the sonic energy shook it free. The speakers on his armor pounded with pure harnessed energy. He smiled. He looked around, viewing the display of carnage set before him. He muttered the motto of the Death Songs in the ancient tongue of his people. Listen to them, the songs of death. What music they make. My lord, said a lieutenant close to him. Report. My lord, the Xenos are almost purged. Good. Is the warlord dead? No. Good. He trudged towards his army, stopping and parting, standing to attention. He asked the lieutenant, who was walking just behind and to the side, subserviently, My lord, the Greenskins, calls itself Death Killer de Sawbones. Thank you, you may leave.
Yous gets all gonna die.
I don't think we were going to die. It is you who is going to die. The war boss stopped and told his orcs to stop fighting, as he would take on the Primarch himself. The orcs backed off, and the Astartes circled the two. Exalced stuck his scythe in the ground, and Sawbones dropped his other weapons.
Us gonna die.
No, you are going to die. Excelsis hurled himself forward. The orc, or what was left of it, was slightly pulsating because of the base of the seekers on Excelsid's legs and the soles of his boots. Death songs, advance! The legion moved forward, killing every straggler that came into their way. My emperor, the Xenos, has been purged. Well done, Exal said. Thank you, Lord. Boom! The door to the chamber swung on its hinges. Exal said, Daramon, you are under arrest for heresy. Why? I haven't done anything. Exal said, looked to his emperor in hope of explanation. Nothing came. No, he will not be classed as a heretic. Him and his legion will be expunged from the records. My lord, what have I done? My son, you have done nothing wrong, but others class you as heretics, and even though nothing has happened, justice must be swift. I see. Guns firing, enemies screaming, missiles exploding, tanks rumbling, dying hearts beating for their final time. These all together create a beautiful cacophony, a macabre chorus. These are the songs of death.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Isaac.
Yeah.
So the death songs is one of the, either is it chapters
second
2
or
11? 11? Yeah. That were removed from Imperial history.
And for good reason. Now the Emperor's not going to tell us his reason or whatever. He kind of did. You've done nothing wrong, but fuck it. Justice must be swift, my son. Yeah.
Others have said it is, so it's, and like, my hands are tied.
I'm only the Emperor. Yeah. What am I going to do? I can't say no to these people. I don't know. This is a shitty story.
There's, this is crazy. I think there's room to grow in this one for sure. For sure. I like their focus on auditory stuff.
I love all the sonic weapon stuff.
That's neat.
That's sweet. And like, man, just don't write missing Primarch stuff. I would love all of this if it wasn't about a missing Primarch. You can't write it.
Okay.
I'm not interested.
So. For you, like, the line is no Primarch.
Yeah.
For me, I was okay with it until the Emperor was there.
Sure. Okay.
He's like a very established character, and like, I don't think I would see him acting this way towards one of them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not.
It's tough.
If it was a chapter master, just change it to a chapter master. Sweet story. Now you got this badass sonic weapon chapter. Not really heretics, but they are.
Also,
it would be
the
sweet.
Like the terminology even of like heresy and stuff. Like it doesn't.
Yeah, was that really even around or used?
There's no one to convict you other than like the Emperor is the Emperor of.
Yeah, the Inquisition didn't really
nobody,
exist.
Yeah,
during
exactly.
That
like
time.
Who's arrest? Like no one's arresting anyone without the Emperor's consent here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't click with the era it's supposed to fall into.
Yeah.
Also, just kind of trying to make it like loyalists, heretics. Maybe pick a path.
Pick a path.
Either be heretics.
Well, I think when Isaac is describing for like the whole honor of Tzeentch, honor of Khorne, that must be later when, you know, they're like, it's the classic, they call us heretics, so now we will be heretics, I think, is kind of where the route of the death songs went.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah, that's my guess, at least.
Sure, I get. I'll give it that, in that.
Yeah, I think they really were supposed to be loyalists.
And then they were kind of kicked out of the Imperium, so then they pursued chaos.
Exactly.
After the fact.
Yeah. That's kind of the feeling I get out of it.
In that sense, sure.
The psychic power, okay. He says that it's powerful enough to split a planet in two.
That's rowdy.
Wild.
Now I like to think that maybe only happened once in 10,000 years.
Maybe Excelsat is the only one who is capable
exactly.
of doing it.
Yeah, it has happened before with this power, but it probably won't happen again.
Yeah.
The other power is cool. You just fucking vibrate somebody to death.
Crush them?
Yeah.
That's wild.
I love it. I really love all the sonic weaponry stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a cool theme.
Yeah.
Definitely stick with the theme.
I like the quotes you have, like the things Primarch Excelsad has said. Listen to them, the songs of death, what music they make. I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
What
that
was another
quote
one that he said?
Sounds very familiar, and I want to say it might be. I could be wrong, but in my mind, I feel like I've heard it from a Noyes Marine.
Sure.
I mean,
wrong. It's possible.
But I mean, if your Primarch is quoting Noyes Marine, you got a problem.
I like you're pretty descriptive on when you are describing things. It's all auditory based. You're not describing how things looked or really like even
smelled.
Smelled or tasted the air. You're only describing things like auditorily,
yeah.
Which is neat. speakers in the soles of his boots and his legs, just like the bass just crushing someone.
So just picture this, like you know, like a whole army marching and you hear like the 10,000 footsteps. Right. Now picture Astartes and every step is a boom.
Yeah,
like
the bass. It's right to the
now,
beat.
Now like the whole earth is literally vibrating shaking from them. Like
that's cool. I could actually go by
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. So there's some cool stuff in here for
Absolutely.
Sure.
It
needs to be refined a little bit. A lot of it.
But thank you for sharing nonetheless.
Yeah, like, Isaac, if you are still listening to Warhammer, because it's been a minute, if you'd like some stuff, I'd actually enjoy going over this with you myself. Mm-hmm. Just shoot me a message in like the Discord or whatever.
Yeah, and, yeah, for sure. We'll we can make this beautiful.
Yeah, because I think you got some really cool ideas.
Yeah,
in
even I love how he's renamed all his unit names to you know, rock custom blasters, all that kind of stuff. It's just nice little details.
Very, very cool. I liked the squads. So the different colors. Battle line was red, fire support blue, close support green, and veteran is white, and that's right pauldron.
Yeah.
And then he, instead of doing like symbols, they said the left pauldron just is rank within the squad itself.
Okay.
Which was kind of neat, I thought.
Yeah, that's nice. That's an easy way to paint them.
Is this pre or post heresy?
I'm assuming it's post, but I don't actually know.
If you have models too, just send pics.
Yeah.
Slide them in my DMs. Slide those Warhammer pics.
I kind of want to see Excelsad and his speaker armor.
Yeah,
if it just sounds like he has speakers all over his armor.
He opens his mouth; it's just another speaker inside.
And the ancient tongue of his people, like, what does that sound like?
Mm,
you know, is it like, is it musical?
Oh, it has to be.
Is it like guttural? Is it deep? Is it high?
What is it all of the above?
Yeah,
because
I don't
know. Like tonal.
Yeah, yeah. Very neat. Cool. Thank you, Isaac.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Okay, and the final story we're going to be sharing is actually a part two of a story, believe it or not.
Wow, from how long ago?
Too long.
Someone actually resubmitted,
Oh my God. So this is kind of cool. This is close to me. There's a guy named Luke. We've actually read one of his stories before. He actually wrote about my Iron Skulls warband. He wrote that cool drop pod story.
Yep.
So now he's actually written a part two.
Hey, and I'm pretty sure we were actually in that story, if I remember
correctly.
Oh, is that that one?
Yeah.
You bastard.
So this is part two from Luke. It's cold in here. It is cold everywhere except the engine rooms and warp chambers. I feel every degree of temperature that permeates this prison. No, this liberation. Teleportation signals. They return, making this place once more unhallowed with their infection. I feel that too. The infection that gave us our gifts. I feel the distortions in the warp as they rejoin me, the presence of their corrupted bodies. I feel the stride of their boots. I feel the rumble of their voices in the air. It was a half success, their latest incursion. Did they find the answer they wanted? No, they did not. That will be a displeasure to him. They will meet to discuss their next steps. I feel and hear the peal of the engine whine and ignite as I take us into the void. The Inquisition will be here soon. Someone I wish not to know of us, at least for now. They make for the conference chambers, and I pondered what they would say. Through the sparks and cabling, I feel my consciousness drift towards them. My vision congeals into a charred and pinstriped view of the Iron Skulls. They have convened. The Iron Ancient stands in the dim light of the console, its fellows flanking the Great Hulk with our master before them. A waste of time. A waste of our time. Lord Vorketh? Armus? Fuck it. My own characters, I can't say the name. Perfect. Establishes his tone as he always does with a fist striking steel. No one flinches. That outpost has nothing but curs and false brothers with naught but bolts in their skulls. None knew a thing. His fist craters into a steel of a girder. My body reverberates with the impact. My lord, one of them speaks. The worshipper speaks. The elimination of the outpost and its brother falsities were a great pleasure to us. Speak not of pleasures, Iskal. Yes, I'm the blood I'm sure the blood god reveled in his sacrifices of slaughter, but should not we also drink of his enjoyment? No one but me detects the signals of Iskar's body, his adrenaline glands and heart rising in activity as he calms within seconds. Many a great sacrifice must be given before we are able to receive his blessings in full, my lord. I meant not ill or distaste for your leadership. Then you will seal your throat before interrupting me again, Bloodsworn. Lord Vorketh studies his battle brothers briefly, and I feel the gaze upon me for a singular moment. We fester here, brothers. We fester without action, without progress. We are no closer to discovering the location of the traitor commander today than we are a century ago. He hides from us. He stays on the move. He fears us. My brothers shift their weight, grins of malignity. Malignity? What is that word?
Malignity?
Malignity? Painting their faces. They believe as much as I do. Their words, our Lord speaks. That Titinius would not move so constantly if he was not afraid. We will go on. We will press forward until we find him. He stares upward into a pick feed array that which I see through them. Morgan, what are the analytics of the rabble that joined us today? He addresses me directly. I feel his searing attention like warp fire through a human corpse. 67% losses, 10% malfunction, 23% survive. These, Lord Vorkas' voice groans with the weight of his distaste. These creatures who call themselves our followers, why do we take them with us? He looks across at his charges. One dares to answer, to draw our enemies' fire, my lord, to clear a path for us. Because we are not in control, Lord Aramis spits the words, launching meat-flecked saliva across the room. He further emphasizes his word with an impact upon the control desk, his fist cratering down. They wreck this ship.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Jeez Louise. His grimace of fury morphs into a seized mouth of grim determination. But we will be. Oh, we will be. Until that day, we will allow them with us only to die. They are not worthy of that which we carry, this blessed curse. I can see Iskel, the worshipper, battling with himself. His inner wisdom is evidently the victor, and he remains silent. I allow them on this ship so they might be purged on the path we tread, to form cobblestones of bone, asphalt, and blood, and soil of flesh. You will not for a moment forget our purpose. A silent dismissal follows, with only his sabatons against the hull giving indication as his direction. The brothers file out, and the Iron Ancient uses his second vocalization of the cycle. Iskal, it which feed requires sustenance. The light of the viewplate goes dark, and the blood swarm takes up three of the rabble on his way to the cage. They chitter in their hunched forms as they trail him. I have not seen a feeding of it for some time, so I follow, eager to again drink in the might of our once brother. My consciousness shifts through the circuit, streaming through data conduits, reveling in the information exchanges. I reach the cage before he does, and I watch it for a time. A chaos spawn. That is what Imperial records know them as. A literal definition. If there was ever one, likely coined by the cousin falsities in the Mechanicus. Its many arms and appendages flick and twist and pulsate with chaotic emotion. I had to advise against bringing it with us to the outpost, to Lord Vorkas' anger. I had to reason with him, as I feel I'm the only one who can. The time to herd it back aboard the ship will be too costly, my lord. We already know they have detected us. An Inquisitor discovering us would force our hand too early. We must strike hard and fast. I remember the way he looked at me, as though he glared hard enough the weight of the warp itself might tear me from existence. Perhaps it would. But he listened, as he always does. He needs me, just as I need them. Every ship needs a crew. Its great singular eye turns in its socket, up at a blast door to its containment as Iskal and his entourage enter. The heavy steel clangs with mighty boom against the archway, alerting all within of Iskal's approach. Maintenance servitors swivel on the pedestals, going about menial tasks, while their rabid cultists of the iron skulls go about their own maddling hudding. They scatter before the approach of the Bloodsworn, as he nears the containment chamber itself. It which feed crawls on two of its four legs, bringing itself above Iskall's height. It let loose a gurgling roar and snatches from within his wriggling tentacle. The charged steel of a prison quickly disperses the thought of feasting on the obliterated marine with a surging of lightning. It shrieks in pain and takes a stalking about the cage, its eye following Iskall as it circles. Abomination, Iskall growls. You understand it most of all, creature. You know why we kill. The mutation of the flesh and the warp influence slows to a prowling stomp, and the thud of its steps echo through the room. The three followers who trailed Iskall clack their teeth together and exchange noisome groans and belches between each other. They look at Iskall questioningly. Feed, master? It feed? We feed? Iskall sneers and picks up one by his throat. Yes, you feed. He answers grimly, hurling the cultist above the cage. I bring open the upper hatch of the prison as the slave plummets downward again. With a slap of metal, or flesh on metal, it bounces off the rim of the aperture with a crack of bone, before falling through into the waiting jaws of it, which feeds. It smacks its teeth and rippling lips together, devouring the now wailing and screeching cultures, which screams thanks and
this audio drama.
Yeah. Which screams thanks and blessings to the iron skulls, and the two remaining cackle madly. Now me now, they call simultaneously. It turned into weird golem, and that's unfortunate, but we'll carry on. They call simultaneously from the diminutive statures of Iskall, quickly devolving into, these are too many pitus squabbling, fighting for the honor of going second. That's nice. Okay. Iskall obliges them. With no care for which order they plead for, he pitches them through the feeding hatch into the cage to follow their damned comrade. They hurtle downward, gloriously sickening smiles of ecstasy on their faces as the bodies are crunched, slurped, and devoured by our once brother. I bring the hatch close and watch it as it chews down the sinew and bloated flesh. Iskall reaches towards the cage, his fingers outstretched as though to pet the creature, but a bright crackle of energy through the steel changes his mind. Sometimes it's good to remind them who truly keeps it caged. Morgon, Lord Volkes' voice pulls me from my thoughts. I snake my way through the labyrinth of cables and generators into his presence. My vision shifts into the chambers where my core resides. I see the undulating flesh metal that gives me my power. My old augmentations plugged into sockets into the walls, carrying my signals back and forth. I feel my entire being surging through the length of the hall. I am the conduit through which my will is enforced. I am here, my lord, I answered, my voice crackling from the Voskaster embedded in the throat of my throat that was once mine. How goes the inventory? Lord Volkath rumbles. We acquired as many munitions as we dared from the outpost armory before the signal from the Inquisition got too close. We are well stocked for the next assault. And where is the next assault? I recognize the look he gives me. We're assaulting where you command, my lord. I require only coordinates. The answer satisfies him. I always must caution myself against overstepping. You are listening again, Morgon. Watching, too. I cannot decipher what he expects this time. Is he making conversation? Chastising me? I'll plead ignorance. It is my purpose to listen, my lord, to learn of the insights into our operations firsthand, to analyze, to predict, to adapt. You would be more effective at that if you joined us on the battlefield, Tech Marine. His leer seeks to draw me out. He, all of them, resents me. Do not give in. I join you from my integration. It is 23% complete. I can see and hear everything that occurs in the primary sections. I have control of all primary functions that serve our purpose. I revel in the memory of when I first encountered or connected to. And how long until you reach 100%? He interrupts my reminiscence. I know his tone I know the tone he employs. He seeks to anger me. He knows that I am so much more now. It is unknown, my lord, but I have the control I desire, and that control is yours. The machine spirit bowed to me decades ago. Volkoth hawks a chunk of spittle on the ground and said the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing. The machine spirit? He seems almost to howl with laughter, speaking as though to an audience. The machine spirit? His voice lowers, his tone shifts to a growl. I tell you, Morgon. He tightens grasp on one of the mechandendites, bending and crushing it. Pain. I do not like it. If you are lying to me, if you have not tamed the accursed machine spirit within this ship, I am the machine spirit. I pitch the ship forward, pouring more power into the engines to make a point. He is forced to plant his boots upon the iron for balance. A smile of satisfaction would have crossed my face had I had one left. The sudden change in velocity made him loosen his grip upon that which he once so cruelly mangled. He appears to like the answer, for now perhaps. He holds one hand before him, a finger outstretched to point at the desiccated husk of my once body. Our time is coming, Morgon. I am not a patient man. You tread thinly. Behind his facade of anger, I know this was a test, a reminder. I feel his boots traverse the portal from my chamber into the rest of the ship and beyond. I angle myself to catch the astral winds. We will need to refuel soon. It's cold in here. Cool.
Spooky.
Yeah. We did a bonus episode where we were talking about, it was the three of us. We were talking about like, well, what if an obliterator guy got corrupted and like joined a ship and now he's part of like this huge kilometer wide ship. So he liked that and ran with that, I guess. Wow. Very cool.
Murgon. Yeah. It took me a minute to like try and understand, like he kind of teases out that this thing isn't like a regular being.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just tosses in something different every once in a while, and you're like, wait a minute, that's not how a person would do things. They don't do it like that. And no, it was cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
There is more. Do you want to go over the rest of it before we dive in? I can read it.
Yeah, you can read that if you want. Yeah,
so this
cool.
is a
yeah.
little talk about Lord Vorketh Aramis and Ixal the Bloodsworn. So Vorketh is a rank of a Chaos Lord, Warlord trait, the Cult of Destruction, Relic, Flesh Metal, Exoskeleton. And these are the things that your character actually plays with on tabletop?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Dear guy.
It's been so long. Been
He's
so
obviously long. Based off of me too, right? Me in the story?
Yes, the whole Flesh Metal Exoskeleton is.
So the background. Vorketh Aramis was originally a sergeant in the Silver Skulls chapter, leading 9 centurions with a Leviathan dreadnought accompanying them. He was an ambitious and tactically aggressive leader, giving his brothers constant pushes for no quarter on the battlefield. If they could not take the field, they were not worthy of bearing their chapter name, as he would remind them. During the Indomitus Crusade and their clash with the Iron Warriors that infected them, this tactic of relentless aggression bought them their lives. As their brothers had left them to hold the line while they fled, which was an act of ultimate cowardice in Vorketh's eyes, he pushed harder than ever before, going so far as to charging ahead even of his fellow stranded brothers. With wrath and fury, he felled 3 traitor marines with his chain fist before he was joined by his fellows. Together they fought for countless days, the ground becoming so slick with blood, bodies, and viscera that by the end, those on the battlefield were almost wading through it. Even now, 200 years after that day, Vorketh and his band of renegades cannot recall how they survived. This victory, however, galvanized his belief in what he sees as the superior tactic of unrelenting aggression to break both the will and bodies of his enemies. With the rejection and attempted execution of him and his brothers at the hands of his own chapter, he mercilessly ordered the reverse and watched as the strike cruiser he now calls his own was purged of those who would have killed him. Reborn with the unholy obliterator virus in his body and mad vengeance in his hearts, he embarks now with the Iron Skulls on his own crusade against Chapter Master Argentius, even if it takes him to the door of Varsavia, the Silver Skulls' homeworld. And then we have Ixal, the Bloodsworn. Ixal is the only one to have any semblance of recollection for what transpired during the Warband's battle against the Iron Warriors. However hazy it might be, Ixal remembers. He remembers the call of blood, of rage, of war. He was an Astartes before, but now he's something more. He remembers the screaming in the back of his mind, scratching at the edges. It began as a low, rushing echo, like the shores of an ocean. It's classic warp shit.
Yeah.
It warp. Swelled into a cacophony of resonating roars of a billion souls, all calling him to battle. He tells no one of this, for this is his gift alone. Greed feeds his lust for battle. Greed to have all of the blood for himself in each engagement. To deny Ixal is to deny him. He marches onward with his warband, or so he enjoys the thought of. He knows that it is not Vorketh who truly leads them on their mission. His brothers would not accept that kind of talk, however. So Ixal waits. He obeys, but he watches for the moment when his so-called Chaos Lord steps in error. Ixal will be there. He will be there to lead them on a new path, laden with skulls of iron, overflowing with blood.
Very cool. I feel like we need a part three.
Yeah.
There's some really cool imagery.
There's some
He's teeing up some stuff, too, that's like...
Yeah.
So, okay, there's two things that I write on the tip of my brain, so okay. I'm going to share them. One is, I highlighted it because it was so crazy. And this is Vorkel talking about the Bloodsworn, the cultists.
Okay.
I allow them on this ship so they might be purged on the path we tread, to form cobblestones of bone, asphalt of blood, and soil of flesh. You will not for a moment forget our purpose.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, that's wild.
When I become prime minister, I'm going to work that into a speech.
And we will tread upon the enemy. Form cobblestones of bone. Yeah. The other one, I don't remember entirely what it is, where it was, but it's a confrontation between Vorketh and Murgon. Hmm. And Murgon is, like, worried that his chapter master, whatever, is looking at him with such intent to destroy him that the warp is just going to make that a reality. And yeah. I really like that aspect of the warp, is that if your will is strong enough, you just bend reality around you. Hmm. And you don't, like, there's a lot of times there's incantations and ritual that needs to be invoked with warp, but I like the idea of someone that's just so strong in, like, their power that however they want it to be, it just is.
yeah.
And if, like, they want me dead, their will just kills me. I really like that. I just it was really neat.
Yeah. I'm not sure even what to say about it. I love the direction he went with it. He wrote all this without really even talking to me, so.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very
not
cool.
Sanctioned.
No, it's all sanctioned.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He was going to write a bunch of other characters. Maybe he was still going to, but maybe this will be the push he needs.
Well,
write my lore.
I'm going to have to send a message to Luke because it's been a minute since I've even seen him or chatted with him. So,
Turns out this whole operation was just to get someone to write lore for Mark.
Yep.
All right. Everyone can stop submitting. We don't need you. We're done.
Yeah.
Shut down the podcast.
Yeah.
It's all a ploy.
Just like screening for resumes, essentially reading all the list of lore. Okay. I like this guy. I'll let this guy write.
Yeah, I like that Morgan has, like, bent the machine spirit to his will.
Yeah.
He, like, absorbed him somehow, or maybe even killed off the machine spirit. And
confined,
like,
it to a certain part of the
ship. Yeah, sure. Knows? Like, yeah. I guess it depends on whether or not you see the machine spirit as just, like, an actual spirit or as kind of a quirk of technology or whatever. So, yeah. I like it. I really, really enjoyed this one.
Yeah,
man, when he talks about him, like, Vorketh apparently has not a lot of mouth control because he spits everywhere.
Pieces of metal and flesh.
Meat flesh just coming out of his spit. That was gross.
Also, he who eats, so it that eats.
It which feeds?
It's which feeds, yeah. That's that model I have.
The one chaos spawn, yeah.
Very cool.
And the cultists, like, view it as a gift to be sacrificed to this thing and... Yeah. He's got a lot of flavor that I would include in a lot of my own things. I really like it.
Yeah. It's great.
Very cool.
I got nothing else to say. Thanks for writing, Matt. Or Luke, I mean, sorry.
One of my favorite lines is one of the last ones. It is cold in here.
Mm.
I wonder if he's talking about space, because he is the ship now.
That's what I took it at, because he starts off with that too. It's cold in here.
Yeah, it could be like his body in the room slowly being uploaded to the ship or whatever. But I like to think that it's the ship itself, and he is feeling himself as it.
It's cold everywhere except for the engine rooms and the warp changer.
Oh, okay, yeah, exactly.
But like he's. But that's him feeling the whole ship. I feel every degree of the temperature that permeates his prison.
That's how I feel too.
Hmm. your flesh prison. My flesh your prison. Meat body.
I can feel every organism on the surface of my skin crawling over me.
Oh, God!
I must free myself.
I live in constant agony.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Luke, for writing that and sending it in. Anything else before we head her down for today?
Just don't forget to send Henry Cavill a message. I know a couple people of you have been screenshotting and sending me.
I have been seeing them, yeah.
Yeah, so keep it up. Keep the pressure on. Let's really get that to happen. if you have a listener lore to send to us, I know I'm an asshole. I'm going to critique it, but do it anyways. It'll be nice. Send it to lorehammerpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I do enjoy reading them, even if they're fun.
We always like reading
them. They're always interesting. Yeah. So send them our
We might not treat them
I'm not
nicely.
Gonna go show them to my girlfriend.
No.
Sometimes I don't, sometimes I do. It depends on the lore. But
sometimes he just shows his mom.
He
Mom, look at this.
Look at this bolter porn, Mom. Anyways, thank you, Christian, for joining us.
Always a pleasure. I look forward to coming back on the next episode.
Oh, you do not tell him? This was
I didn't
his last,
have the heart.
sorry, Christian. Unfortunately, this is your last time on the podcast.
There's the door. We'll be seeing you out off the premises.
Here's your conciliatory cookie.
Yeah.
I know it's oatmeal. Nobody likes oatmeal, but there you go. And thanks to all the people who sent us stuff.
Yeah, thanks for sending it in. It's really, really cool. We have so many. Keep sending them. They're awesome.
Yeah, and I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. For the episode about the Emperor. Okay, thanks for coming.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.